Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on mind control right after this message. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers, he said, quote, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have." You know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention back in 1787 followed this scriptural law when they put into our federal constitution, Article 1, Section 10, it says, quote, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." But in 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. And in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents have introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks to the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they've given us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills, and clad coinage in place of silver coins. And now, in the intervening 70 years, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until now we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our nation, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons in my business and Mosaic Law classes conducted twice a year here at the law school. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. And the business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org, click on to the email, send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're reviewing Mind Control, World Control, written by Jim Keith. In Chapter 4, it talks about public education. Mind control begins with public education. And it works like this. One of the major world arenas in which Hegelian philosophy and the materialistic anti-psychology of Wundt has been applied is that of education. In 1819, in Prussia, the first compulsory schooling for children was instituted in Europe. According to educator John Taylor Gatto, society in Prussia was divided into children who will become policymakers, children who will become assistants to those policymakers. Those are the engineers, architects, lawyers, and doctors, etc. And then third, the children who will be the vast, massed, used workers in society. And Prussia set up a three-tier school system in which one-half of 1% of the population is taught to think. They go to the school called academia. 5.5% of the population go to the real schooling, where they are partially taught to learn to think, but not completely. Because Prussia believed that their defeat at the hands of Napoleon was caused by people thinking for themselves at times of stress on the battlefield. And they were going to see to it that scientifically this could never happen to them again. Now, the lowest 94%, take a look at that pyramid, the lowest 94% in that pyramid went to what's called the Volksschule, where they were to learn harmony, obedience, freedom from stressful thinking and how to follow orders. Now that's mind control. And they worked out a system that would in fact guarantee these results. And in the Volksschulen, it was to divide whole ideas, which really simultaneously participate in math, science, social thinking, language, and art. And they divided those into subjects which hardly had existed before, to divide the subjects further into units, to divide the time into small enough units of time with enough variations in the course of the day. No one would know what was going on. Doesn't that remind you of public school today? Now, in the middle of the last century, a number and a member of the secret Skull and Bones Society, following that Prussian tradition, set in motion an American educational revolution that has subverted the entire system toward the goals of this New World Order. Now, that man was Daniel Coit Gilman. He was the first president of Johns Hopkins University and of the Carnegie Institution. Gilman studied Hegelian philosophy at the University of Berlin in 1854 and 55, and also at the University of Berlin during this time was the earlier mentioned Wilhelm Wundt, who was key in applying Hegelian-styled psychology in the world. Gilman came from a family of bonesmen, and after he returned from Germany in 1856, he became treasurer of Skull and Bones. Simultaneously, Gilman became assistant librarian to Yale and was appointed to the position of head librarian 2 years later. Now keep in mind that George Bush and John Kerry are both bonesmen. Skull and Bones is the think tank in America, the policy-making think tank for American political process. During the same period, Skull and Bones covertly took over the administration of Yale University with the presidency of the school, and from that period forward is turned over to the succession of aluminized bonesmen. Now, Gilman was the first president of Johns Hopkins University. Gilman met Frederick T. Gates, who ran Rockefeller's foundation, and he implored him to set up the Southern Education Board, merging the Slater and the Peabody funds. Gilman called the foundation of the General Education Board, signaling his intentions. The organization was later renamed the Rockefeller Foundation. Now, among those was G. Stanley Hall, the first of once American students to make a mark. Hull's training in Leipzig was paid for by a loan from a member of Scroll and Key, a sister society to Skull and Bones. In Leipzig, Hall immersed himself in Hegelian-inspired psychological studies. He taught and was taught by materialist psychologists like Hartmann, Helmholtz, and his greatest influence, Wundt himself. And returning to America in 1883, took over the psychological laboratory at the new Johns Hopkins and started the American Psychological Association and the American Journal of Psychology. The first state to adopt this form of public education was California in 1886. Now, according to Hall, the psychology I taught was almost entirely experimental and covered for the most part the material that Wundt had set forth in the later and larger edition of Psychology and Psychological Psychology. In 1889, Hall was chosen as the first president of the newly established Clark University in Worcester, Massachusetts. Hall was the mentor of one of the most influential names in American education of the century. His name was John Dewey. Dewey studied under Hall at Johns Hopkins, moved on to teach at the universities of Michigan and Minnesota. Another major influence upon Dewey was the Hegelian philosopher George Morris, who had received his doctorate from the University of Berlin, according to Dewey, echoing the sentiments of his Prussian mentors. There is no God, and there is no soul. There are no needs for the props of traditional religion. With dogma and creed excluded, then immutable truth is also dead and buried. There is no room for fixed natural law or permanent moral absolutes. Dewey published the first American textbook on Hegelian philosophy as applied to once psychological innovations in his book, Psychology. By 1895, he joined the faculty at the Rockefeller-funded University of Chicago, heading the philosophy, psychology, and teaching departments, and establishing an education laboratory called the Dewey School, later known as the Laboratory School of the University of Chicago. Dewey followed Wundt's example in his insistence that education was not the teaching of mental skills such as reading, writing, and arithmetic, but rather it was for the purpose of channeling raw experiences to the evolving mind of the child, a sort of psychic Skinner's box version of education. The traditional role of the teacher as educator was replaced by the teacher as shrink, socializer, eugenicist, and herald of the coming world superstate. Dewey believed that the purpose of public schools was to take an active part in determining the social order of the future, according as the teachers align themselves with the newer forces making for social control of economic forces. Again, this is mind control. It's called social control for economic forces. Dewey also remarked that the school is primarily a school of social processes. Education being a social process, the school is simply that form of community life in which all of those agencies are concentrated that will be most effective in bringing the child to share in the inherited resources of the race and to use his own powers for social ends. Education, therefore, is a process of living and not a preparation for future living. Here again, the process that we used to use in this country of educating people's minds for future, for the future, for earning a living, earning a livelihood, for being able to think, operate a business, operate and maintain your family, has been changed for social purposes, and it was a process taken over by Skull and Bones and the Wundt psychology and the philosophies of the New World Order for the express purpose of converting the entire world to this anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-religion, atheistic New World Order. And we're well on the way. In fact, it's already been imposed. It just hasn't been announced yet. We already have the New World Order. We just haven't been told what we have yet. Now, for Dewey, the issue was always how the child related to the state rather than how the state related to the child. Now, I pointed out earlier that education is the process by which we set problems before you and let you work out the problems to come to a conclusion or a solution. Here's an example. Joe went down to Flo's whorehouse and got clap. Question. Should you go to down to Flo's whorehouse? And if you do, would you also get clap? That's what education is about. We don't practice education. We practice, in this country, indoctrination. Yes, you should go down to Flo's, and just because John got clap at Flo's does not necessarily follow that you are going to get clap. That's indoctrination. Your common sense tells you that to play it safe, you ought to stay away just to be on the safe side, doesn't it? And when we take a look at the world today, what we see is a succession of bad choices, bad decisions. Bad decisions made politically, bad decisions made economically, bad decisions made educationally. You just take a look at our society today. We're suffering from bad decisions. Now stand by. We'll be back with more on Keith's Mind Control when we return. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, here's an interesting statement. It says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said that we ought to obey God rather than men. You'll find that citation in Acts 5, verse 29. You know, that's a revolutionary concept. But it's impossible to put into practice unless you knew the law yourself. Can you imagine yourself actually telling a policeman or a judge that the law of God supersedes the law of the state? Well, there are actually three authorities that support Peter's position in Acts 5, verse 29. The First Amendment to our federal constitution is number one. Congress in Public Law 97-280 is the second. And the Supreme Court in Seeger versus U.S. is the third. Now, do you know the scriptural law to cite in support of your position, let's say on the census, public schools, Social Security, vaccinations, or the many other laws of scripture that conflict with the laws of the state? And do you know how to look them up, research them out, code plead the law to use the scripture to defend yourself against state and federal incursion into your constitutionally protected rights? Now, if you don't know the law of scripture and you don't know the law of the state, then you're not in a very good position to challenge either one, are you? Now, if you're tired of being a biblical illiterate with the police and public officials kicking sand in your face, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the first step. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's free of charge. And my Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org to order it. Just click onto the email machine and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about mind control. It's akin to brainwashing, but brainwashing is where you take an adult and you subject him to a regimen of mind control. We call that brainwashing. But where does mind control start? Well, mind control starts right in the public schools. You send your little boys and girls off to public school to be controlled. I'll demonstrate that to you in the last half of this segment of the series on mind control, world control. Going on, we're talking about a guy named John Dewey. For Dewey, the issue was always how the child related to the state rather than how the state related to the child. And another student of Wundt, who was to prove to be perhaps the most successful popularizer of the new psychology that abolished the psyche, was James McKean Cattell. Cattell was Wundt's assistant in Leipzig in the years 1883 to 86, receiving his Ph.D. from the Grand Old Man in 1886. Lecturing in Cambridge in 1887, Cattell met and was converted to social Darwinism by Darwin's cousin, the English psychologist Francis Galton, the man responsible for the popularization of the beginning, or at the beginning of this century, of the science of eugenics and selective breeding. In 1887, Cattell established at the University of Pennsylvania a psychological laboratory of the Wundt mold, then moved on in 1891 to head the new psychology department at Columbia University. Cattell was tremendously influential in disseminating the new overtly materialistic psychology, and he did so by establishing a host of magazines, including the Psychological Review, Science, Scientific Monthly, and School and Society. He also published reference works, including American Men of Science, Leaders in Education, and the Directory of American Scholars, an effective strategy for screwing once school psychologists into the mainstream of American thought. Another of Cattell's questionable feats was the abolition of the use of phonics. Phonics, the method for teaching reading in school. Cattell popularized the look-say method of teaching reading, a technique that, according to some sources, had been invented by Thomas Hopkins. His name was Gaudet, or Gaudet, for teaching the deaf. And although Gaudet was not a member of Skull and Bones, two of his sons attended Yale and were initiated into the secret society. Following upon the insight of Gaudet in teaching the deaf, Cattell came to the conclusion that the direct memorization of words would increase literacy if applied to normal students. Experience in subsequent years has not proven this to be the case, and obviously the one byproduct of Cattell's advocacy of the look-say theory is that as we approach the 21st century, millions of American adults cannot read or write at all. All right, let me make an editorial comment here. I learned the phonics method of reading, and I can read. I may be like George Bush. I may stumble over some words from time to time, but the look-say method is one of indoctrination, whereas phonics is the key to a code, and language is a code. And once you learn the letters of the alphabet and the sounds that go with them, now you have the key or the code to the language. There are 512,000 words in the language, and you cannot memorize that many words. In 1900, get this, the average vocabulary in the United States of America was 20,000 words. 20,000 words. That was the average vocabulary 100 years ago. Today, it's 10,000 words, one half that. Furthermore, the people that have memorized their 10,000 words, when they run across a word that they haven't memorized, can't read it. They don't have a code. Now, this is called the deliberate dumbing down of America. Charlotte Isherby wrote a neat book called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. I reviewed that book here on The Law Hour. And I showed you from an insider, a woman who worked with the Department of Education. What's the purpose? What's the plan? We go back to the Germans, clear back in 1819. Prussia set up a three-tier school system in which one half of 1% of the population is taught to think. That's Ted Kennedy and his children. They don't attend public school. They're privately tutored and privately educated. If you want your child to learn how to think, you're going to have to teach your child yourself. Since you were not taught to think, since you went to public school, how in the world are you going to teach your child to think when you yourself cannot think for yourself? That's mind control. Mind control. Now, had you been educated to the educational standards contained in the scripture, you would have been taught to think, because the scriptural, the God-oriented system of education is based upon making choices and making the right choices based upon revelation. The opposite to that is called the scientific process. We've all been taught that the scientific process is superior to the revelatory process. We don't want to have it revealed to us that Flo's whorehouse is rife with venereal disease. That's revelation. You don't have any way of knowing that until somebody tells you that. The scientific method says you need to go to Flo's to experiment, to find out. You need to eat off of the tree, the forbidden fruit. That's the scientific method. Now, God told you, pay attention and listen to me. The fear of the eternal is the beginning of wisdom. We've been taught in our educational series, no, that's a lie. The scientific methodology is the system that we want to use to determine right and wrong, good and bad. Well, okay, boys and girls, that's what we've been doing for the last 100 or 150 years. How do you like the results? If you like the results, keep with it. If you're doubtful about the results, then stay tuned. Maybe it's time for you to make a meaningful change. Now, possibly the most effective Trojan horse for injecting the Wundt theory of man as machine into the American educational establishment was an individual named James Earl Russell, who studied under and received his doctorate from Wundt in 1894. Now, Russell became dean of the New York College for the Training of Teachers, which he would run for 30 years while heavily weighing its faculty with practitioners of the Wundt School. And in the same time period, turning it into the largest institution for the training of teachers in the country. Another luminary in the shrink wrapping of American education was Edward Lee Thorndike, who studied with Wundt, Armstrong, and Judd at Wesley University, graduating in 1895. Thorndike moved on to Columbia University, where he specialized in studying animals and puzzle box mazes. And finally, finding his niche at Teachers College under Russell. And according to Thorndike, teaching was the art of giving and withholding stimuli with the result of producing or preventing certain responses. Let me repeat that. This is mind control. This is the same process of teaching a dog. They view human beings as mere animals, not creatures created in the image of God who are destined to become gods, born into the family of God. That's not the philosophy of atheism or humanism. Their philosophy is that you're just an animal like a dog, a cat, or a cow. As a result of that, you are motivated by stimuli. And so your politicians come to you and they stimulate your five basic motivators: vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Listen to your two prime presidential candidates. They're promising you free drugs, which is what you want to hear. All of you elderly people, you want drugs, and you want free drugs. Americans are not opposed to drugs, drug abuse, or drug addiction. They're opposed to illegal drugs and illegal drug addiction. Drugs must be pure, and they must come from Pfizer and Merck, not from Joe down on the street corner. I'm not exactly sure why we care about who consumes dirty drugs or illegal drugs. What difference does it make to us? Now, you'd think that Americans would be opposed to drugs. You know, we're constantly inundated with advertisements on television and radio and newspapers. Drugs are bad. Drugs are wicked. We're in a drug war. We've got drugs coming in from Colombia. Now, George Bush and John Kerry are out here stimulating the economy. And they're stimulating the economy and advocating the use of greater and greater public resources to buy those drugs to keep the entire American populace in a stupor. What do you call that? Mind control. I don't take drugs. I want to control my own mind. I don't want to be manipulated and controlled by somebody. It's an easier way to live. You just let your master tell you when to get up in the morning, when to go to bed at night, and what to do in between. That's perfect mind control. The army is a system of perfect mind control. The public education system is another example of perfect mind control. The political process is another example of perfect political mind control. That's where somebody else does your thinking for you. If democracy were all that it was cracked up to be, then the citizenry would be in control of the politicians. That's not the way our political system is set up. It's the politicians who are in control of the people, stimulating the people to action. Stand by. I'll be right back. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Well, how many laws did Moses give us in the Mosaic Law, and how many laws has the state given us in our secular government? Well, Moses gave us 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, and the state, at last count, has given us 2.5 million laws. That's right, 2.5 million laws. Now, Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than men. That's Acts 5, verse 29. Congress said that we ought to voluntarily apply the teachings of the Scriptures in the lives of families, individuals, and societies. And they said that in Public Law 97-280, Statute 96-12-11. And our Supreme Court followed that up by saying that there is a higher loyalty than loyalty to this country, and that is loyalty to God. And they said that in Seeger versus United States. Now, every authority is in agreement. Congress, the Supreme Law, or the Supreme Court rather, and God Almighty Himself, that the Scriptures are the final authority on law. Now, if you'd like to learn these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments and how to use them against government intrusion into your God-given rights, it's a right, duty, and obligation that we owe to ourselves, our families, and our society. 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. You have over 2,000 statutes in your state traffic code. Don't say I can't learn them. And I teach all 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments along with the penalties for the violation of these laws, and I do that twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall. Now, why don't you make it a point to regain your First Amendment right to free exercise this year? That's free exercise of religion. And the First Amendment is the gateway to the Second, your right to keep and bear arms, and in fact, to your entire Bill of Rights. Now, the law of God may be old, but it's not old-fashioned, and it's very relevant to our lives and our rights today. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the place to start. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order your free copy right now. The number 417-273-4967. And the Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, just go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about mind control. Well, according to Thorndike, teaching was the art of giving and withholding stimuli with the result of producing or preventing certain responses. In this definition, the term stimulus is used widely for any event which influences a person, for a word spoken to him, a look, a sentence which he reads, the air he breathes, and the term response is used for any reaction made by him. A new thought, a feeling of interest, a bodily act, any mental or bodily condition resulting from the stimulus. The aim of the teacher is to produce desirable and to prevent undesirable changes in human beings by producing and preventing certain responses. Let me pause right there. By producing and preventing certain responses, who decides which responses are good and which responses are bad? Is it Congress? Is it the clergy? Is it psychology, medicine, economics? Who decides right and wrong, good and evil? You know, that's the heart and core of the entire controversy. You have a guy that we call God. We have a label for him. We call him God, the Creator. And he gave us a set of instructions, 759 judgments, statutes, laws. And he said, this is the way to live, walk human. And he said, there are penalties for not practicing this law. Let me give you an illustration. You go down to Flo's whorehouse and you get a dose of VD. You're out experimenting sexually with your neighbor's wife and you get some kind of sexually transmitted disease. That's merely the penalty. It's simply put the penalty that you get. You see, if there's a law that says thou shalt not commit adultery, there has to be a penalty. If you didn't have a penalty, you wouldn't have a law. If you've got a law that says the speed limit is 65 miles an hour, you got to have a policeman out there handing out tickets, or you don't have a law. You just have a suggestion. Now, the road sign that says slow to 35 with an arrow indicating a turn up ahead is a suggestion. If you want to drive around there at 45 miles an hour, it's okay. 55, 65, 75. But remember that there is a law called physics out there. And when you hit that 35 mile an hour turn at about 85 miles an hour and you find that your car flies off of the road and down into the river, you have discovered that there is a law there. Now, maybe you didn't know about the law of physics, but it works on you whether you know about it or not. And that's why you need somebody to reveal to you how that law works. And that's why we have school. We send you to school, and then we put you in driver's education, and we teach you about these signs. This is called revealed knowledge. Now, for some reason, we don't have any qualms about revelation or revealed knowledge when it comes to driving your automobile, but we have a real hang-up about accepting revealed knowledge that comes from God, who is simply telling you information that you could not find out except by harming yourself in the process. Now, if you want to experiment with driving your automobile around a turn, I can remember as a kid, we had a bridge there at Lolita, California. It's still there. It's called the Lolita Underpass. And the railroad goes over the highway. Back in the 20s and 30s, when you wanted to cross over, the railroad crossed over the highway, and you had an S-turn, and you had to slow down to about 35 miles an hour. They'd put a sign there that says, slow to 35, underpass ahead. Well, I know of a number of cars that hit that concrete pier. One guy hit it with a 49 Chevrolet at about 80 miles an hour. It knocked the engine clear out of the car. Of course, the guy got killed. That's just one. There's probably 50 people that hit that overpass. Probably. I know of 10 anyway that I could recall. And that thing was there years before I was born. Now, there was a sign there, and it revealed to these people that there was a 35 mile an hour turn up here, and evidently they didn't believe it. All I'm saying is that the Bible is revealed information concerning law that you need to know to protect yourself from an inevitable hazard. That's all it's there for. The reason it tells you not to eat pork is so that you don't plug up your veins with saturated fat. That's all. I mean, it's just that simple. Now, I had a guy here one time. He said to me, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. Well, okay, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But the human gut's only 25 feet long, and your stomach doesn't have enough hydrochloric acid to digest fat. So animal fat is prohibited in the scripture. And it's God's fault. I mean, it's really God's fault. You ought to blame him. Because he designed your body with insufficient hydrochloric acid. Now, a dog can eat fat. He's got so much hydrochloric acid in his gut. If you want to test this, you just chain a dog up, and wherever that dog is chained up, there will be no grass underneath him. Nothing can live on the ground where a dog lives. That's because dog feces contains so much hydrochloric acid that it sterilizes the soil just like salt. Pigs do the same thing. I just point that out to you, not because you couldn't figure this out for yourself, but maybe you hadn't thought about it. Now, I don't eat pork, and I don't have any health insurance, but if you're going to eat fat, blood, and pork, you need health insurance. And 42 million Americans don't have health insurance. And that's a real problem. 42 million Americans, that's what they tell us. And our politicians say, my God, we've got to do something to fix that problem. Well, I fixed that problem. I quit eating fat, blood, and pork. I don't get sick, and I'm not going to die from heart attack or cardiovascular disease because I follow that revealed piece of information in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. Now, we've been experimenting with the scientific process for hundreds of years, and you people still have not figured out by the scientific process that pig kills. I don't think the scientific process is the end-all, cure-all to the problem of ignorance. If it is, how come you people haven't put two and two together yet? Let me give you another one. Circumcision. You probably heard that circumcision is religious, and you don't need to do circumcision. Jewish people practice circumcision. Penile cancer is not a very common form of cancer here in America, but in China, where circumcision is not practiced, of all of the cancers that do occur in China, 14% are called penile cancer, cancer of your penis. Among Jewish men, it's unheard of. When penile cancer does appear in a Jewish man, it is so rare that it is written up in the American Journal of Medicine. And it's occurred, I think, three or four times in the 20th century in the United States of America where a Jewish male got penile cancer. I just point that out for your consideration. You see, you wouldn't know that circumcision is a health measure unless it had been revealed to you by the statistics that come from the American Medical Association and or the Scripture. Now, God never explained to us why it is that you needed to be circumcised. One of the side benefits, this is not the purpose for circumcision, but one of the side benefits that you receive as a male by being circumcised is that your chances of getting penile cancer, being circumcised, are practically zero. Practically zero. Your chances of getting penile cancer are 14% if you're not circumcised. I just thought I'd pass that on. That's the difference between revealed knowledge, information that you need, and the scientific process. Now remember that this term, the term response, is used for the reaction made by you. A new thought, a feeling of interest, a bodily act, any mental or bodily condition resulting from stimulus. So what we're going to do is treat you like a dog, an animal. That's the way you're treated in public school. That's the way you're treated as a voter. I say it's time for us to wake up and start thinking for ourselves. It's a wild new concept, I'll admit that. For most of you, this is a wild new idea. But the means at the disposal of the teacher are the stimuli which can be brought to bear upon the pupil. This isn't education for your benefit. This is education for the benefit of the state. The teacher's words, gestures, and appearance, the condition and appliances of the schoolroom, the books to be used, the objects to be seen, and so on, through a long list of things and events which the teacher can control. The teacher is there to control you, to train you, to teach you to respond to stimuli. Thorndike further stated that studies of the capacities and interests of young children indicate the advisability of placing little emphasis before the age of six upon either the acquisition of those intellectual resources known as the formal tools, reading, spelling, arithmetic, writing, etc., or upon abstract intellectual analysis. Abstract intellectual analysis. Mind control. Just that simple. Mind control begins in the public schools. If you're a product of the public schools like I am, you have a long, difficult, hard, uphill battle to recover from that stimuli. It isn't impossible. You can do it. Now hang on. We'll be back with more right after this. All right, you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments, anyway? Well, it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, our public institutions, and our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple time-tested laws, we see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they teach these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our schools, our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. You know, this is a radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? And are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion? She can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Now let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. If you want to put morality back into your school, take your child out of the public school and educate your child at home to these educational standards contained in the scripture. And there's still one school left in America that I know of that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that come from their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what that penalty is to suffer its effect. Now, whether you call that the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, Karma, or something else, it's automatically. It's automatic, and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which is the automatic natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org. Click onto the email. Send an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, it's free. Didn't cost you a dime. That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we're talking about mind control, world control. The book is called Mind Control, World Control, written by Jim Keith. It's published by, I recommend it pretty highly. It's kind of a dynamite little book. Published by Adventures Unlimited Press, One Adventure Place, Kempton, Illinois, 60946. Let's try that once more. Copyright 1997, Jim Keith. Mind Control, World Control is the name of the book. Published by Adventures Unlimited Press, One Adventure Place, Kempton, Illinois, 60946. Well, despite the rapid progress in the right direction of program, the program of the average elementary school is too narrow and academic in character. Traditionally, the American elementary school has been primarily devoted to teaching the fundamental subjects, the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and closely related disciplines. Artificial exercises like drills on phonetics and multiplication tables and formal writing movements are used to a wasteful degree, say these experts. Subjects such as arithmetic, language, and history include content that is intrinsically of little value. And nearly every subject is enlarged unwisely to satisfy the academic ideal of thoroughness. And that the typical school overemphasizes instruction in these formal academic skills as a means of fostering intellectual resources is a justifiable criticism. Elimination of essentials by scientific study then is one step in improving the curriculum. Now that's what these modern educators and thinkers, these social planners, believe concerning our traditional educational values. that learning how to read and write, learning phonics, learning history, learning and understanding and being able to use 12 times 12 is 144 and 9 times 9 is 81. You know those multiplication tables that we old-timers used to memorize? The emphasis by Thorndike and his followers on the socialization of the student, in fact, the subjugation of the student to the social order, as opposed to the teaching of specific skills, is another factor that has led to a general breakdown of literacy in the United States, while at the same time providing no noticeable increase in the ability of to socialize, in fact, obviously the contrary. So here they're trying to teach you. They're claiming that we're going to teach you to be a good social creature. Now, when you take a look at people that go around killing people, you know, the going postal, that's not very social, is it? Or getting up on top of a tower and shooting everybody in sight? No. The truth of the matter is that we're not going through a period of enlightened education. We're going through a dark age here in America. We're being dumbed down, desocialized. We can't read and write. We can't function, which is exactly what the process is intended to produce. 94% of the people that cannot think for themselves but can only follow. And that's where America and Americans are today. They're a nation of people that can't think for themselves. They just follow blindly, obediently. Now, the majority of Americans are going to vote for one of two skull and bones. And remember, it's skull and bones that has inflicted this educational system upon us for the purpose of controlling us, mind control. So if you want to get out of mind control, I guess you got to get out of bed in the morning and go do something different, don't you? Now, not very many people are going to get out of bed in the morning and do anything different tomorrow than they were doing today. But a few of you may want to do that. Thorndike believed that education is interested primarily in the general interrelation of man and his environment in all the changes which make possible a better adjustment of human nature to its surroundings. This is another important aspect of Thorndike's and all of the other latter-day want philosophies. Man is an animal who must adapt to the environment, that is, the social system and political regime imposed upon him, rather than adapting the environmental or the environment to his own vision. Man is to be conditioned to accept the circumstances that he finds himself in, not to learn to change those circumstances. So again, the controlling elite have no qualms about changing society or the environment to conform to their own whims. Even if it takes dozing a rainforest, it's only the rebellious public schooled who must have the devastating effect of individuality brainwashed out of them. The socialization techniques used by Wundt and his followers create robots, not sociable people. Working out of the teachers' college at Columbia University and the latter established Lincoln School, the dependent upon a steady infusion of Rockefeller money. The major lights in the field of once psychology, including Thorndike, Cattell, Russell, and Dewey, kick-started educational psychology, remaking the face of American schools. And many of these disciples of Wundt were very straightforward in proclaiming that the purpose of educational psychology was the creation of a new world order. So by the 1950s, the Teachers College was indisputably the most powerful force in education in America, with approximately one-third of all school presidents and deans and one-fourth of all American teachers accredited there. It must have been reassuring to the Rockefellers and their ilk to see that materialistic psychology and education had won and was now accepted as the norm in American public school systems. Well, now, my common sense tells me that if I'm going to do something about that, the first thing I've got to do is take my children out of public school. I mean, isn't that the logical place to start? Take your kid out of Flo's whorehouse is the place to start, isn't it? And that's about what you have here in public school. Let me show you a book here called America to Pray or Not to Pray. It's written by a guy by the name of David Barton. Here's the way you mind control children to accept a philosophy that's patently repugnant, and that is premarital sexual activity. In 1988, California was considering adopting legislation on sex education for public schools, requiring that course material and instruction shall stress that monogamous heterosexual intercourse, one man and one woman, within marriage is a traditional American value. The senator promoting the bill received a letter of protest from the ACLU dated April 18, 1988. And it said, quote, "It is our position that monogamous heterosexual intercourse within marriage is a traditional American value and is unconstitutional establishment of religious doctrine in public schools. There are various religions which hold contrary beliefs with respect to marriage and monogamy, and we believe this bill violates the First Amendment." All right, then it goes on to say that students across the nation are being provided with materials in their sex education classes from groups like Planned Parenthood, materials containing photographs, illustrations, and graphics encouraging and demonstrating premarital sexual relations for adolescents. Consider these mild excerpts from books and materials that Planned Parenthood and similar groups recommend for adolescents. So here's what your child is learning about sex and sex education in public school, as opposed to thou shalt not commit adultery. Quote, "Boys and sex. More and more people are coming to understand that having sex is a joyful and enriching experience at any age." Page 2. "Playing with girls sexually before adolescence increases the chances for a satisfactory sex life when boys grow up." Page 38. "Premarital intercourse does have its definite values as a training ground for marriage. Boys and girls who start having intercourse when they're adolescents will find that it's a big help. It's like taking a car out for a test run before you buy it." Page 117. "Girls and sex." Now remember, this is provided by Planned Parenthood in your public schools, and this is what your children are learning in your public schools. If this is what you want, then you have succeeded in your goal. If this isn't what you want, then you should take your child out of public school and educate your child at home to morality, whatever your brand of morality might be. Here's girls and sex. "Girls understand now that they're far more likely to make good social and sexual adjustments to life if they learn to be warm, open, responsive, and sexually unafraid. They're learning to be sexual partners of men." Pages 10 and 11. "Everyone's agreed that that teenage sex should be a learning experience." Page 15. Notice it says everyone's agreed. I'm not agreed. I dissent. I just want you to know that everyone does not agree. Now, you've changed the combination. "There are only two basic kinds of sex, sex with victims and sex without. Sex with victims is always wrong. Sex without is always right. One way to avoid having victims is, of course, to have sexual relationship only with your friends." Now, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I recommend the book. It's America to Pray or Not to Pray. You can get it from Wall Builder Press, P.O. Box 397, Aledo, Texas, 76008. They got a phone number, too. It's 817-441-6044. Yeah, I got to leave it right there. We'll pick this up again next time when we're talking about mind control. Remember, mind control begins in the public school. If you've attended public school, then you have been mind controlled. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to that homeschooling page again, the website, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule of archives, and it can be accessed through the website, again, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. All right, I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here again tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.